I want us to see today that the burial of Jesus is indeed the turning point between the agony that he endured on the cross and the glory that is his in his resurrection life.
Welcome to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you've joined us today as we continue our series in the book of Isaiah. And today, Colin, we come to a topic called vindication. What is it about the death, burial, and resurrection that leads you to want to use that word vindication?
Well, we're looking at the burial of the Lord Jesus, which really is the turning point of the whole story. Isaiah has been speaking about how the Lord Jesus will be despised and rejected and oppressed and cut off. But at the very point where he's crucified, there's this marvelous story in the New Testament about Joseph of Arimathea, who honors the Lord Jesus Christ by giving him an honored burial. It's a beautiful story. And it's really the turning point because it's a recognition of the value of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it points us forward to his glorious resurrection. So this is a story of great hope. And it's a story that speaks to us very directly because it challenges us as regards to our response to the Lord Jesus Christ in a world that rejects him.
Well, let's get to the message. Again, it's called Vindication from Isaiah 53:9. Here is Pastor Colin.
Well, please open your Bible at Isaiah chapter 53, this marvelous chapter that describes in detail the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah was writing hundreds of years before our Lord Jesus came into the world. He begins with the life of Jesus. The Son of God came into the world. He taught the Word of God. He did the works of God. And the overwhelming response to the Lord Jesus when he came into the world was the response of unbelief. That's verse 1. Who has believed what he has heard from us? Verse 3. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Then Isaiah tells us about the death of Jesus. We looked last week at the description in verse 8 of the arrest, of the trial, and of the sentencing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah says, verse 8, by oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living? And we saw in verse 7, that Jesus submitted to all that he suffered freely. At any time, he could have called on legions of angels, but he did not do that. He endured the cross because there he became our substitute. There he was taking our place. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. So looking back at what we've covered in verses 1 through 8, the focus has been on the life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see Jesus despised, Jesus rejected, Jesus oppressed and afflicted. Here we see him pierced and crushed and punished and wounded and cut off. But now if we look forward to what's ahead at the end of the chapter, I want you to notice that verses 10 through 12 focus on the resurrection, the ascension, and even the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In these last verses, we're going to see Jesus satisfied, Isaiah says, making many to be accounted righteous, dividing the spoils of his wonderful triumph and victory with his own people. So this chapter begins with the suffering and the humiliation of Jesus, and it ends with the triumph and the exaltation of Jesus. It begins with an entire community rejecting Jesus, and it ends with an entire community rejoicing with Jesus. Verses 1 to 8 that we've been looking at are really a descent to the lowest place as Jesus' name is despised and it's rejected. But then verses 10 to 12 are a kind of ascent to the highest place as Jesus is honored and he is exalted. And so between the two, we have this verse 9 that we're looking at today, which clearly then is the turning point of the whole chapter. I want us to see today that the burial of Jesus, standing between his death and his resurrection as it does, is indeed the turning point between the agony that he endured on the cross and the glory that is his in his resurrection life. Now, will you look then at verse 9 of Isaiah and chapter 53? Here we read these words. They made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. They made his grave with the wicked. Now, the they, of course, refers to those who despised Jesus, those who rejected him, those who esteemed him not. And Isaiah says they made his grave with the wicked. Now, that is, they condemned Jesus to a criminal's death. And you remember that when Jesus died on the cross, he was between two thieves. He died in the company of the wicked. And the two thieves were not mischievous people, you know, who'd been stealing apples from an orchard or something like that. No, these men were receiving the death penalty, and so their crimes were certainly not misdemeanors. They were robbers, the Bible says. And from the fact that they were enduring the death penalty, it seems pretty clear that their robberies had involved aggravated violence. And you notice that Isaiah says here of Jesus, he had done no violence, in contrast to the horrendous acts of those who were being crucified on his right and of his left. So make no mistake about it, these thieves who were crucified beside Jesus were wicked men. And by condemning them to the death penalty, the authorities were making it very clear there is no place in society for people who have acted as these men have done. Now, what would have happened to the bodies of these wicked men after they were crucified? And the answer to that question is most likely they would have been dumped in the valley of Hinnom, which was outside Jerusalem. The valley of Hinnom, an awful place, was a massive garbage dump with fires that continually smoldered. It was an awful place of death and of decay and of destruction. The stench there must have been absolutely awful. No one would ever, ever want to go there. The name of the Valley of Hinnom in Greek is Gehenna. And that translates into English with our English word hell. Writing in the New Bible Dictionary, David Payne says, the valley seems to have been used for burning the corpses of criminals and indeed refuse of any sort. Hence the name came to be used as a synonym for hell. So the Valley of Hinnom, Gehenna, was the grave of the wicked. And that is where the authorities thought Jesus belonged. Literally, they thought that he should go to Gehenna. But the body of Jesus was not dumped in Gehenna. Isaiah says, they made his grave with the wicked, crucifying him between these two thieves, you see. But notice what happened. and with a rich man in his death. Now, Isaiah must have wondered when he wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who is this rich man? And how in the world does he get into the story? And the Gospels in the New Testament give us the answer. Each of the four Gospel writers record the story of the honored burial that was given to our Lord Jesus Christ. And the burial of Jesus is the turning point between the agony of Jesus' death, where he's rejected on the cross, and the glory of Jesus' resurrection, where he is honored and adored by those who believe in him and worship him. And I want us to see today two things from the burial of Jesus, and then to make three applications directly for all of us today.
All right, we're going to do that in just a moment. You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith, and our message is called Vindication. It's from our series in Isaiah 53 called The Gospel According to Isaiah. And if you want to get a copy of this entire series on CD to listen to at your convenience, ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. By the way, Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported program. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a book that Pastor Colin has picked out. It's entitled, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. Find out more about this or give online at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, the first thing I want us to learn from the burial of Jesus is that Jesus is honored on earth by those who love him. Notice what Isaiah says. They made his grave with a rich man in his death. And the Gospels tell us this story, that after all the mocking and spitting and despising and rejecting of Jesus that went into the crucifixion, there was a rich man who came forward and gave Jesus an honored burial. Matthew tells us that it was evening. And when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. Now, what do we know about this man, Joseph of Arimathea? Well, first, we know that Joseph was a good man. Luke tells us that he was a good and a righteous man, and Mark tells us that he was looking for the kingdom of God. So this is a good man. Second, we know that this good man was a member of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin, the company of 70 members that ruled over the Jewish community. Mark tells us that Joseph of Arimathea was a respected member of the council. Respected. And Luke tells us very significantly that Joseph had not consented to their decision and their action. That is, their decision and action to condemn Jesus to death. Joseph of Arimathea was there. He was a member of the council. But when all of them said yea, he was one who said nay. He did not consent to their decision to condemn Jesus. And then we're told in the scripture that this man Joseph was in fact a secret disciple. John tells us that Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Now, the Gospels also tell us that this man, Joseph, a good man who secretly was a disciple of Jesus, that he took the initiative to ask for the body of Jesus. Each of the four Gospel writers tells us that Joseph went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And remember that this man Joseph was a member of the Jewish ruling council. That would, of course, have given him access to Pontius Pilate. And I expect that Pontius Pilate, who must have been troubled but the fact that he had handed over someone who more than once he had pronounced to be innocent, he must have been happy to be able to release the body of Jesus into the hands of someone who would give an honored burial. So Joseph then was the one who took down the body of Jesus from the cross. Mark tells us that Joseph bought a linen shroud and, taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud. But of course, in this, Joseph did not act alone. John tells us that Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. And so they, that is Nicodemus and Joseph, the two of them took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. And then with the help of Nicodemus, Joseph laid the body of Jesus in his own tomb. Matthew tells us specifically that this was his own new tomb, which he had cut out of the rock. So Joseph had commissioned the hewing out of this tomb. Presumably, he intended that it would be his own resting place. And it was lavish. I mean, it really was. John tells us that this tomb was in a garden. So Joseph had picked a beautiful spot. I mean, this was a place that was suitable for the burial of a king. And Joseph gave what he had intended for himself to Jesus. In a world that despised and rejected Jesus, mocked him and spat on him, there was a rich man who esteemed him and loved him. And he was not alone. Matthew tells us, when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. And the also refers back to others who took their stand with Jesus on that day. Matthew specifically tells us about the women. There were also many women there, he says, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Now think about it. These women had stood at the foot of the cross as Jesus suffered and died over a period of 6 hours. They were there watching. They were there waiting. And they were there because they loved him. And these women were not alone in honoring Jesus. Matthew also tells us about the centurion and about his soldiers. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Now, notice that the centurion was not alone in honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew says specifically, the centurion and those who were with him. When the soldiers had nailed Jesus to the cross, you remember Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And here we see how that prayer was answered. Before the day was done, the centurion and those who were with him were confessing faith in Jesus as the Son of God. So we have the soldiers. We have the women. We have Joseph of Arimathea. We have Nicodemus. and they're all honoring Jesus. So let's put this together. The first eight verses of Isaiah and chapter 53 all focus on Jesus being despised and being rejected. Isaiah's been asking two questions at the beginning in verse 1. Who believes? Who has believed what he has heard from us? And then verse 8, as we saw last time, who cares? Who even considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living? Who believes? And who cares? That's verses 1 through 8. But you see, from verse 9, where we look at the burial of Jesus, we see that Joseph of Arimathea would answer these questions by saying, who cares? Who believes? Well, I do. I believe in Jesus. I care about him. Who believes? Who cares? The women would have said, we do. We're here at the foot of the cross because we love him and we believe in him. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night and then came out into the open when Jesus died, he would have said, I care about Jesus. I believe in him. I want to take my stand with him. And even the centurion and those who were with him, the soldiers who would have nailed him to the cross, the soldiers for whom Jesus had prayed, they would have said on that day, we believe in him. We believe that he is indeed the Son of God. Now, do you see that God's answer to a world that hates his Son is a community of people who honor his Son? And that community of those who love and honor his Son was already emerging even at the cross.
Well, that is where we're going to have to pause today's message. But we'll continue this message from Isaiah 53:9 called Vindication on our next broadcast. And I hope you make it a point to tune in for that. If you ever miss a program, you can always come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. You'll find that for free at your app store. And you can listen to this weekend radio broadcast as well as our daily program, find our daily devotional, and other resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ. So again, find the app for free at your app store. Simply look for Open the Bible or come to our website, openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on this station, make the podcast, the app, and all the ministry tools available because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thanks of Phil Reichen's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, what would you say this book is really about?
Well, it's about people in the Bible who had doubts. And, if someone listening has doubts, you've probably thought to yourself, well, I must be the only person who's ever had this kind of experience of doubting. Well, guess what? You are not alone. That in the Bible, there are many people who went through different kinds of doubt. And Phil Reichen has pulled out the stories of no less than 10 of them. And he tells in a compelling way the stories of people who have walked through doubt and a crisis of faith. And it's full of wisdom for the weary doubter. It really is a help and an encouragement for a person who's going through this dark valley. Not only will you discover how these characters in the Bible move through their doubts, but you'll see how God graciously dealt with each and every one of them, sustaining and restoring and reawakening their faith. Your doubt may be, in God's grace, the passage by which he brings you into a stronger faith than you've ever known before.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for financially supporting Open the Bible this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365 or openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Life.
Watch Your Life is a six-session course that is geared for leaders but accessible to every believer. The six sessions will show you how to grow in godliness, how to feed on Christ, how to pray in the Spirit, how to battle temptation, exercise faith, and discern God's will. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.